By the way, we're going to start in Psalm 1, if you do have a Bible and you'd like to turn there. So, yeah, we were here last June, and absolutely love being back. We're grateful to be back with you. Well, about 10 days ago? Is it this? Oh, handheld? This one? Oh. This one? Yeah.
Okay, shut this one up. Okay.
Test. Okay. How's that?
Very good.
Yeah, we're happy to be back here. And about 10 days ago I talked with Les. And when I heard his voice, I felt like I'd known him for a long time. And that was very special. Like we'd been friends forever. And we had just met him last June. So I don't know if any of you have read that marble piece out there, The ABCs of Life. I saw it when I came in and I was looking at the different things. I love some of those. For D, dream. I imagine. But when we came here, you know, we were passing through to go to California to go back home, and we'd just come back from Europe for 9 months, and we had sold all of our belongings, so P, pack lightly. That was us. We had our belongings in our suitcases, and we went to Southern California. We thought we were going back home, and the Lord said, don't accumulate. Stay packed lightly, because you're moving. And we now live in Franklin, Tennessee. That's where we're living. And it's about 5 miles from our son, who lives outside of Cincinnati. Okay. Yet Psalm 1, verse 1. I wrote, my first sentence was this. It is such a joy to be back with y'alls. Y'alls. I hear that in Texas. I hear that in Tennessee. Y'all, how y'all doing, right? We don't say that in Los Angeles, you know. So it's good to be back with y'alls. So positioning ourselves to receive and walk in all of God's fullness. How do we make room for the much more that God has for us? It's interesting, Steve, you had mentioned that the greatest work that God will ever do through me in touching and reaching others is what I have first allowed him to do in me. That's not always pleasant. I didn't realize that quote is similar to what I'm going to be sharing about today. How do we make room for more, the much more that God has for you and I? Okay, Psalm 1, verse 1. We'll just do the first three verses, and then we're going to go into another passage. Okay. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Think about what you're dreaming about. Think about what are your goals, what are your dreams, what are your aspirations, what has God spoken to you? If you could look at your life 5 years from now, what would that look like? And just dream big. What would that look like? Because I will tell you this, to get there, we're going to have to make some changes. So, verse 1, the word we're going to use for verse 1 is separate. Oh, the joys of those who separate themselves from the wicked, the sinner, from the mocker. I also want to add, it's not just the bad things or the unhealthy people. It could even be okay things. Just ask yourself, to get to where I want to go, what do I need to separate myself from? It might be okay. It might be lawful. It could be permissible for some. But Lord, what is no longer permissible for me if I'm going to get to where I want to be a year from now or 5 years from now? What needs to change? So verse 1, separate. What do I need to separate from? So we've got to be spirit-filled every day and look at everything in our lives and make decisions. Oh, that's the world that I've given place to. That's the flesh that I've given place to. That's the devil. That's the Holy Spirit. What is the Lord saying? We want to be in tune. We want to be discerning. Verse 2. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. The word for verse 2 is saturate. Saturate. But they saturate themselves in the law of God day and night. About 12 years ago, I was in a lot of crisis, really emotional crisis. And it was really all about not knowing who I was, let's say, in Christ. And we'll call it identity crisis, which can be a lot of people. I've worked at a rehab before where there was a lot of drama. There's a lot of crisis in rehab. Really, there's a lot of crisis in people's lives who really don't know who they are in Christ. And this is what I came to the conclusion of. Either my identity will be in Christ, or I'll be in identity crisis. Identity in Christ, or identity crisis. And I didn't know where to begin. And I realized, well, if I'm struggling with identity in Christ, I need to go to those scriptures to get filled up on who I am in Christ. And I grabbed a CD of the New Testament, and I took Ephesians chapter 1. And I began to play it, just starting with a verse. And I'll give you a little bit of an example. I just played it like 20 minutes, two times a day. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. He loved us. And how important is that to you and me, that we feel loved? And not only just loved, but unconditional love. And we're accepted. That's acceptance. And chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family through Jesus Christ. And this gave him great pleasure. I got that into my heart, that it gave God great pleasure that I was adopted, can be in my family. It brings me great pleasure that you're a part of my family. So we praise God for the wonderful kindness that he poured out on us because we belong to his dearly loved son. Have you ever been raised with such, have you ever known where love was conditional? Can you imagine this? God said, I'm going to pour out my kindness on you because you belong. Just because you belong. You belong. My love for you, my outpouring of kindness to you, it's unconditional because you belong to my son. God is so rich in kindness that he purchased our freedom through the blood of his son, and our sins are forgiven. Think of that word. It took me months and months and months to grasp value. It says he purchased our freedom. What does it mean to purchase something? Well, you pay for something because you see the value in it. Or if you're selling, you put a price tag on it because you know the value and you want to get that value back. You want to get that price for it. Well, God saw value in you and me at the price of his son's blood. We are people of great value. If we have low self-worth, let me put it this way. The world will never raise the value that you have put on yourself. That's the world for you. If your value of yourself is low, don't expect the world to raise that. They never will. In fact, they might even reduce it if you'll let them. But that's why our identity in Christ, we learn what great value we are. And so my value started to go up, not because of me, but because of what Christ said about me. So when you see your value through God's eyes, you begin to learn the why you are here. You ever see people who have lost their way because they don't know their why? Why am I here? Well, the more your identity becomes in Christ, you start to know why you're here. And then you begin to see your way. Because without vision, God's people will perish. But God begins to give us vision and promise. He begins, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God shows us the way. I know my way because I know my God. I know Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm getting freer every day. The word for verse 3, and they shall be like a tree planted. The word is situated. And they shall be like a tree situated by the rivers of water. Look at verse 3 in comparison to 1 and 2. 1 and 2 is our job. It's us being proactive in separating from, in getting saturated in. And then it says, what's the natural response? What's the natural outcome? Situated. Have you ever said to yourself, after you have walked in, separating yourselves from and getting saturated in, and you say, how did I find myself in this place? I think we were asking David Reed the other day, did you ever see yourself doing what you do today? And he goes, never. How did I get here? I mean, and it's so good and wonderful. That's the work of God. He just situates us into great and pleasant places because we have followed his ways. So we separate, we saturate, and we situate. Okay. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21, verse 12. Or you're more than welcome to just, I could read it to you. Matthew 21, verse 12 through 16. It's a different story, but it's along the same lines of what we are talking about in Psalm 1. This is from the NIV, verse 12. Yes. Jesus entered the temple. He entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise? Jesus said, my house. You and I are the house of God. We know in Corinthians that our bodies are the temple, right? For the Holy Spirit. My house, our bodies, are the house of God, and it is to be filled with prayer. What happened when Jesus entered the temple? He crowded out the unwelcomed guests. There was a separation, wasn't there? When Jesus came in, which is someone far stronger, far greater, entered the room. He cleared out the temple of the robbers. My house will be called a house of prayer. You and I are to be a people of prayer. Jesus cleared out those who were defiling the temple. He purified the temple. We are to be a people of purity. And when Jesus entered the temple, praise broke out. We are to be people of praise. When Jesus entered the temple, the lame and the blind, those who were sick, came to him, and we saw the works of God, or we could say the purposes of God and the power of God when Jesus entered the temple. Let me tell you what did not happen before Jesus entered the temple. There was no prayer going on. There was no prayer. There was no purity. It was defiled. There was no praise being shouted out. There was no purposes of God. There was no power of God. Could there be things in our lives that are robbing us of prayer, purity, praise, purpose, and power? I know there was an example I put in here, and I will tell you. But first I'll tell you, now go to Ephesians chapter 4. One of the things that I am deeply emotionally attached to, and I won't go into the story, but I love sports. I watch it, I read about it, and you know sports, it's all year long. There's always something going on. And I am more so deeply emotionally attached to the point where I have recognized that God has entered in a deeper way in my own life, that I am, for 1 year, I am not involved in the watching or the reading of sports. And we're making some plans. If we see you again in the fall, I'll share more personally with you about that. So I, too, am separating myself from something that I could see more of the hand, the workings, the power of God in my life for what he's doing. There's too much going on. Janie and I spent 9 months in Europe ministering. It was intense on a regular basis. How can we come back to business as usual? God is doing something, and we've got to make room for what is next for us. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, Paul is saying, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has done for you. So Paul gives us a great example. This is the final passage I want to use that really speaks of those passages. Paul is not saying get rid of something. I'm going to set up something. David, could you help me? And we'll just put, you can just set that container up here. I'm going to do an illustration. One of the things that I have done when I work with people who are addicted to drugs and alcohol, it's one thing to speak a truth to them, but it's another thing to use materials or create an object lesson that actually helps the truth become so much easier to remember, because a picture or an object lesson sticks to the brain far greater than words will. Okay. So Paul in Ephesians 4, 31 and 30, he says, get rid of. That's what he says. But, okay, let me pull this forward. I'm going to go up here. So he says, get rid of all bitterness. This thing? No, I don't need that. No, it's okay. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Empty. This is a magic show. Okay. Yeah. Let's see. What we'll do. See, when Jesus walked the earth, this is the temple. When Jesus walked the earth, this was like filled with living water. imagine this thing filled with crystal clear water. But unfortunately, that's not true for a lot of people. So we're going to fill it with, let's say, the robbers of prayer and purity and praise and purpose and power. We're going to fill it, and that's where I use coffee. But I'll have to be careful how I pour that. Whoops. Okay, David. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and then I just get worried about liquids and electronics, so we'll be careful. And let's pour that. Actually, are you able to pour that in there? Okay. Yeah, just like that, yeah. Excellent, all the way to the brim. That was pretty close. Could I have that coffee cup over there, David? Yeah, because he's about that much from the brim, but it's really important to see it up at the brim, okay. And you could actually keep it just a little bit lower because I'm going to have to, a little bit more. Yeah. Perfect. Okay. So, do you see the color of it? So that's the robbers. That's the den of thieves. Those are the things that have crowded out the things that are good. And so I'm going to use, if you can take that off there. Okay. Okay. So what Paul was saying, he wasn't saying get rid of the bitterness and the rage and the anger. He didn't say take this cup and dump it out. He didn't say just stop something, because that never worked. It never worked for me for someone to just say, can you just stop that behavior? No, really what I need is, can you help me to understand how do I replace that behavior? Because that's what Paul was saying when he used the word instead. The word instead means to go in the place of something or someone. That's what Paul was saying. You can't just quit. You've got to change the way you think, and so you got to add in. So when Jesus entered the temple in Matthew 21, he crowded out. Someone greater came in. Someone more powerful came in. And he crowded out the robbers, the den of thieves. They had no place in what was to be called a house of prayer. So Jesus came in, the living water. And so what I'm going to do, that's okay. I've never actually used a container. I usually use these containers that are see-through so you can see. But David, can you look to see if it's the clear water on the outside or it's the coffee. That's right. But here's the thing. I just started a process by pouring the water in. New life. And okay, are you ready? Do you think it's going to be crystal clear in the wine glass? Did you see that? Oh, sorry. Now, if you're honest with yourself, you'll say, I don't see a difference. You're right. Not with the physical eyes. Have you ever joined 24-hour fitness for the first time in your life or any fitness, and you worked out hard for 30 minutes, and you said to yourself, I don't see a difference, and I'm in pain. Welcome to new life. That's right. That's the journey. That's the beginning of a journey, isn't it? But guess what? Because David's around, I poured the water in just enough so it overflow. We can tell that there is a difference. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. Because if we looked by sight, we're going to be discouraged. But God says, keep going. You're doing the right thing. That's why accountability with one another is so powerful. It's so powerful. Because alone, I can't do it. I need one another. Okay. So, but that's what we do. That's what Jesus did. He crowded out. And that's what we do. That's what Paul was saying. Crowd out the bitterness with tenderness, with compassion. Crowd out the resentment with forgiveness. And this is what all that represents. So we just crowd out. And this is what we do day by day by day. We live in that accountability of people who've been there. They know the process. They know it works. Let me see my iPad real quick. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right on target. Okay. So this is what we're going to do. We're just going to keep crowding out. This is our life. Okay. Here we go. David. While he's taking that lid off. Ephesians chapter 6. This is what I've discovered. Do you know what it says that our fight, our warfare, it's not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and the principalities and the wicked spirits, right? Etc. Notice that it says we are to fight, but that says in Ephesians chapter 6. Previous chapters say stuff like this, that God loves us so much. It says that let your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. Paul also says in Ephesians 3, he says, may you have the power to understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. Ephesians 3 also says this, may you experience the love of Christ. Then you'll be filled with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Here's what Paul is saying through Ephesians. Be a lover first. Be a lover of Jesus. Second, be a fighter. Don't reverse those. The devil would love for you to get on this fighting campaign. I don't like how I'm living. And then he wants you to fight your way out of that bag, and it doesn't work. Fall to your knees. Come to the cross. Be a lover. Primary. Be a lover of Jesus. Know that he is passionately in love with you. Isn't that so much better than trying to fight your way into freedom? Love Jesus. Okay, where are we here? I got to crowd this thing out. Well, you know the process. And Janie, why don't you close this out? You want to work your way up here? Okay, that's right. You're going to stay down there, aren't you? Okay. Whoops. You see, we're all at times a mess. And Jesus said, just come to me and we'll work on this one day at a time. We'll figure this out. Okay. I never once touched this glass. I never once poured or quit or got rid of anything. I just have a desire to love Jesus and to know that he loves me. So I'm not one who's walking in identity crisis because my identity is in Christ. And so it looks a little bit like that.
Kenny, Beth needs to see it. It's all clear now. So as we pour in the goodness and the things of God, it crowds out the things of the world. And I don't know about you, but just all of the things going on right now in this world, if we just relied on that, I think that our peace level in our souls would be at a deficit. And I know that I have to fight almost every day to find that true peace, like to keep centered on that. Because if you look to the left or the right these days, there's things going on that just absolutely break your heart. And one of the things that God asked me to do this year is a little different with my quiet time with him. And so I'm starting in John, and I felt like he asked me every day, just read until I feel a zinger, like something that just jumps out at the page, you know, to me. And then to just think about that, write down what my thoughts are, and then go on for the day. And it's funny because sometimes I only read one verse. Sometimes I read a whole chapter. So there's no like set thing that I'm doing right now, and I'm really enjoying it. And this last Thursday, it was John 14:27 was my verse. And Jesus said, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. I think peace is one of the biggest things that the world robs us of. And the song that we sang this morning, it's one of my favorite lines in any song, is I want to see dry bones living again. And when we aren't filled with peace, it's like our bones become brittle and we break easily. And so my thought that day when I was reading this verse was that Jesus gives us a gift. On all of us love gifts. It shows that the giver has on their heart us and wants to show how special we are to them. That's what a gift is. It's like, you know, I was thinking about you. And it's like you feel an attachment. You feel like a love that's coming from them. And that's what Jesus wants to give us. That's his gift to us, is peace. Jesus is the giver of all good gifts. He doesn't just get any old gift and give it to us. He doesn't forget us till the last second and say, oh, that's right, I was going to give that gift to them. It's like he has us on his heart continuously. He's love. He can't be anything else. And instead, we can trust that it's part of his nature to impart to us the best of himself every single time. Since he is the Prince of Peace, then it would make sense that peace would be something that he would offer to us so that our minds and hearts aren't divided from him. You know, we think, how can we be as close to Jesus as it talks about in the Bible? You know, how does that work? We have to fight for that peace. We have to stay connected with him. We have to keep accepting that gift that he gives us. Somebody told me a long time ago that when I'm feeling turmoil is to actually ask the Holy Spirit to give me peace. And within 3 to 4 minutes, they said, you'll kind of like check yourself and think, oh, wow, I do feel better. So when you're going through something that's really, challenging you, be continually asking the Holy Spirit to let you find that peace that Jesus is offering you. Because it's his nature, we don't question when the storms of life come if we're connected to his peace, if we remember that he is peace. But instead, we can trust that he is good, and he exudes peace from the very core of him towards us, that he wants us to absorb that into our lives. I want this. I want that peace. I want that assurance. I want that steadfastness more than anything in the whole world. I don't want to live my life going like this. And you know, when our emotions go like this, our spirituality doesn't go like this too. Jesus remains like this. So that's what I want. I don't want those storms to keep yanking my peace and, you know, my hope and my freedom that I feel, that I know Christ gave me. I want it to be steady. I don't want the enemy to kill, steal, or destroy what Christ has done for me and in my life. I want to remember that Jesus gives me abundant life. So in closing, a dear friend of ours this week, she passed away. And she was a prolific songwriter. And one of the songs that I remember from years ago that she wrote says, he loves me with an everlasting love. He loves me with an everlasting love. He loves me so much that he gave us his son, and that's an everlasting love. So if we could all close our eyes for a moment. And as we afford everyone privacy, is there anybody here today, first of all, that doesn't know the Prince of Peace for yourself, that you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior? And today you're saying, you know, I want him. I want to know that Jesus is the Savior of my life. And if you'd like to ask Jesus in your own heart today, would you raise your hand? Okay, there's another group that I want to address, and that's people today in this room that are feeling turmoil in their heart, whether it's from something that they've done themselves that has created this unrest and you can't find that peace, or just maybe life is yanking your chain right now, and you're just really struggling finding that peace that you're searching for. And if that is you, would you raise your hand? Okay. Good. Well, let's pray together, will you? Jesus, I thank you so much for that gift of peace that surpasses all of our understanding. And I pray, Lord, that this week, even today as we leave here, that there would be something new, something that has changed in our hearts today. That we would feel your presence amongst those circumstances of our lives that are creating havoc and unrest. I pray that you would give direction where there needs to be a direction. I pray that you would help us to see where we need to go to the left or to the right. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be able to forgive ourselves for things that we may have done that has brought on this unrest in our souls. I ask you, Lord, that you would provide where provision is needed. I ask you to restore where there's brokenness in our relationships. I ask that you would help us to be bold and brave where we need courage, and to step out in faith, believing that you are the great I am, that there's nothing that is impossible for you, that your love is constant, and that you are never, ever going to leave us, that you love us with that everlasting love. So saturate us today, Lord. Crowd out those things that need to be crowded out in our life that are robbing us of the things of God. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood that was shed so that we could find eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.